Welcome to session 2 in the survey of the New Testament.
Wilujeng sumping dina sesi nu kadua dina tengah perjanjian anyar.
In our second gathering, we want to survey 3 portraits of Jesus Christ found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Hubungan urang anu kadua hayong nelaah 3 gambaran Yesus Kristus nu kapendak di lebet Matius, Markus, sareng Lukas.
If you were God, where would you have your son born? Would you choose a very large country that everybody knew about? What did God do? What he always does, he surprises us. He chose a very small, seemingly insignificant country called Israel.
Mantena milih hiji negeri anu alit pisan katingalina oge teu pikaresepeun nyaeta Israel.
We'll use this map of the world to show it.
Urang baris ngangge peta dunya ieu kanggo nunjukeunana.
At the east end of the Mediterranean Sea.
Ditungtung wetan Laut Tengah.
Very, very small.
Alit pisan.
You could miss it.
Kadarek tiasa hilap.
But look how strategically located it is.
Tapi tingali kumaha strategisna eta tempat.
It contained the ancient trade routes that connected 3 continents.
Nya ieu jalur dagang kuno nu ngahubungkeun 3 benua.
Africa. Asia. And what we've come to know as Europe.
Tangnan anu ku ayeuna kurang dikenal Eropa.
See, God does things not based on size.
Tingali kumaha Allah ngalakukeun hal-hal anu teu numutkeun takaran.
But on significance.
Tapi numutkeun pentingna.
And size has very little to do with significance.
Yang takaran anu teu aya hartosna upami dibandingkeun sareng penting tempat eta.
That's where the story takes place is in that little nation called Israel.
Ieu tempat anu dicaritakeun kajantenan di tempat anu leutik bangsa anu leutik disebat Israel.
It is here that God chose to send his son to initiate the new covenant.
Di dieu Allah milih kanggo ngirimkeun putrana kanggo ngamimitian perjanjian anu anyar.
It is here we will read the story of one solitary life that has transformed the world.
Di dieu urang bade ngaos carita ngeunaan hiji kahirupan anu tiiseun jeung parantos robih dunya.
And that story has been written to us for us by 4 interesting individuals.
Dina carita eta parantos ditulis ku urang kanggo urang ku 4 pribadi anu pikaresepeun.
A Jewish Roman tax collector.
Ka urang nu sok ngagih pajak Yahudi anu didamel kanggo Romawi.
A Jewish disciple.
Seorang murid Yahudi.
A Gentile doctor.
Seorang dokter sanes Yahudi.
And a Galilean fisherman.
Dan seorang nelayan Galilea.
Let's look at these portraits.
Mangaurang ningali gambaran-gambaran ieu.
Although it's a fourfold portrait.
Ieu mung gambaran segi empat.
There really is only one gospel.
Telarasna mung aya hiji Injil.
One story about Jesus Christ.
Hiji carita ngeunaan Yesus Kristus.
It has to do with what he said and what he did.
Aya kaitanana sareng naon anu kumantenna diandikakeun sareng naon anu kumantenna pidamel.
We talked about how God reveals himself.
Emut dina sesi nu ngawitan urang nyarioskeun kumaha ngeunaan Allah nunjukeun dirina.
Through his words and through his deeds.
Ngalangkungan dawuhanna sareng ngalangkungan padamelan-padamelanna.
So it is that the story of Jesus Christ has to do with what he said and what he did.
Dan kitu carita Yesus Kristus nu ngahubungkeunana sareng naon anu kumantenna dicarioskeun sareng naon anu dimantenna
pidamel. That's why it says in Acts 1:1, the things that Jesus began to do and teach are recorded in the gospel.
Sababna nah dicarioskeun dina Kisah Rasul 1 ayat 1 segala hal oge dipidamel sareng diajarkeun Yesus dina carita Injil.
Now this good news about Jesus, what he said and did, was being proclaimed for years before there was a written account.
Ieu teh beja bunga ngeunaan Yesus naon anu dicarioskeun sareng dipidamel diproklamirkeun mang taun-taun sateuacanna dicatet.
One gospel.
Hiji Injil.
4 portraits.
4 gambaran.
Now, these stories that we have about Jesus Christ are very selective accounts.
Carita nu ku urang gadung ngeunaan Yesus Kristus nyaeta catetan anu selektif pisan.
They are not biographies as we understand a story that's written about the life of a person.
Catetan eta sanes mung riwayat hirup nu urang terang mangrupikeun hiji carita nu ditulis ngeunaan kahirupan seseorang.
We will know something of the birth of Christ.
Urang bakal terang hiji hal ngeunaan kelahiran Yesus.
Something of his childhood.
Ngeunaan nuju Yesus budak keneh.
Particularly his visit to Jerusalem to the temple when he was 12 years old.
Utamina dongkapna ka Yerusalem ka Bait Allah waktu siswa anjeunna 12 tahun.
And then there's a huge gap of about 18 years before the story picks up again.
Aya nu ngabedakeun wagengna pisan salami 18 tahun sateuacanna carita terakhir.
And then the focus comes on his last 3 years.
Sareng fokus aya saparantos 3 tahun akhir hirupna.
Now that is not a biography.
Janten ieu sanes hiji riwayat hirup.
That's a portrait.
Ieu teh hiji gambaran.
You know what a portrait is.
Terang naon ari hiji gambaran.
Someone sketches your face.
Ngadamel gambar rarai saderek.
They don't put everything about your face on the sketch.
Maranena teu ngagambarkeun sagala hal ngeunaan rarai saderek dinu gambarna.
Because it's not a photograph.
Kumargi eta sanes hiji foto.
It's a portrait of your outstanding features.
Mangrupi hiji gambar ngeunaan hal-hal penting hungkul.
It's selective.
Diselektif pisan.
That's what we have in the story of Jesus.
Eta nu dikengingkeun ku urang dina carita Yesus.
Why is this so?
Nah, tiasa kitu.
Because the purpose of the author determines what he wants to select and what he doesn't want to include.
Margi tujuan nu nulis nangtoskeun naon anu hoyong anjeunna tingalikeun sareng naon anu ku anjeunna hoyong dilebetkeun.
Listen to the words of the apostle John about his gospel in John 20 verse 30.
Terusan Rasul Yohanes ngenan Injilna dina Yohanes 20 ayat 30.
Jesus did many other miraculous signs or miracles in the presence of his disciples which are not recorded in this book.
Yesus ngadamel seueur tanda-tanda mujizat atanapi mujizat dipayuneun murid-muridna anu teu dicatet dina buku ieu.
John left a lot out of his portrait.
Yohanes ninggalkeun seueur tina gambaranana.
In fact, he says in the last verse of his gospel,
ta anjeunna nyaoskeun dina ayat nu terakhir dina Injilna.
That I suppose the whole world could not have room for the books that could be written about Jesus Christ.
Hal-hal sanes anu dipidamel ku Yesus, tapi upami sadayana dituliskeun, dunya ieu moal tiasa ngamuat sadayana.
So, a lot is left unsaid.
Janten masih seueur anu teu acan dicarioskeun.
This means we need to really pay attention to what we have said.
Artosna urang perlu memperhatoskeun naon nu parantos dipidamel.
So look at the next verse in John 20 verse 31.
Tingali dina ayat saterasna dina Yohanes 20 ayat 31.
Now what I have included in my book, this is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah or the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Tapi segala rupa anu dimuat di dieu, kabeh geus dicatet supaya aranjeun percaya yen Yesus Kristus Putra Allah. Upama aranjeun percaya, kanjeunna tinangtu hirup aranjeun diberkahan.
See, based on this very specific purpose, John selects his material.
Tinggal numutkeun tujuan anu khusus ieu Yohanes milih bahan-bahanna.
And this is true of all four gospel writers.
Ieu sami sareng kaopat nu ditulis dina kitab Injil.
Now, among all the gospel writers, each one seems to have the same special emphasis.
Di antara sadaya nu ditulis Injil, masing-masing ngagaduhan tina kanan khusus nu sami.
It's a very interesting focus.
Nu mangrupikeun fokus nu resep pisan.
In fact, it's rather surprising if you think the Gospels are a biography.
Faktana ieu rada ngariwaskeun upami sadarek ngemutan Injil-Injil nyaeta hiji riwayat hidup.
They focus on Jesus' death.
Fokusna ka pupusna Yesus.
How many biographies have you read that the focus is on the death of the person?
Seueur biografi anu parantos diaos ku saderek anu fokus nyaeta pupusna sasaurang.
That's unusual.
Ieu teh saperti biasana.
We want to know about a person's life, not about how they died.
Hoyong terangeunan kahirupan salah saurang sanes ngeunaan maranehna nu maot.
Not so with the Gospels.
Ta ieu teh Injil.
Some have called the Gospels an extended introduction to the story of the death of Jesus.
Sabar jalmi nyebatkeun Injil-Injil eta ngeunaan nu leuwih lega ti carita pupus Yesus.
In fact, if you took all the gospels together, all four,
faktana upami saderek nyandak sadaya Injil sasarengan nu kaopat,
one out of every three verses has to do with Jesus' death and what led up to his death.
Di setiap tilu ayat kedah dilaksanakeun ku pupusna Yesus sarengna nu anu pingpin kana pupusna.
Why is this?
Nah.
Turn with me to Mark chapter 10 verse 45.
Tingali Markus 10 ayat 45.
Mark 10:45.
Markus 10 ayat 45.
The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Putra manusia oge datang lain hayang dilayanan tapi sejang ngalayanan jing sejang ngorbankeun pati geus nembus jalma rea.
That's the interest and focus of the gospel writers.
Anu matak narik perhatian sareng fokus ti nu nulis Injil.
Jesus did not come for himself.
Yesus teh sumping nganggo dirina nyalira.
He didn't come to serve himself.
Dia sumping kanggo ngalayan dirina nyalira.
He came for the sake of others.
Sumping ngabelan jalma-jalma lian.
He came to serve.
Sumping kanggo ngalayanan.
He came to serve to the point that he gave his life as a ransom.
Sumping kanggo ngalayanan terang-terangan yen anjeunna masihan nyawana salaku tubusan.
As a payment.
Ngalunasan.
For man's sin.
Kanggo dosa-dosa manusia.
That's the focus of the gospels.
Ieu fokus Injil-Injil teh.
Now we're going to look at each one distinctly.
Ayeuna urang baris ningali anu ngabedakeunana.
But each has a unique perspective.
Masing-masing ngagaduhan hiji perspektif nu unik.
There's an interesting verse in Ezekiel 1:10 that talks about a fourfold vision that Ezekiel the prophet had.
Nah, Yehezkel hiji ayat 10 anu nyarioskeun ngeunaan titinggalian opat raraya anu katingali temui Yehezkel.
He saw a revelation of a heavenly being that seemed to have four different kinds of faces.
Anjeunna ningali hiji titinggalian ngeunaan makhluk surgawi anu katingali ngagaduhan opat jenis rarai.
One seemed to have the face of a lion.
Nu kahiji sapertos rarai maung.
Another one interestingly had the face of an ox.
Nu sanesna sapertos rarai muning.
A third, the face of a man.
Nu katilu rarai jalmi.
And the fourth, the face of an eagle.
Nu kaopat rarai raja wali.
Now, historically, some have seen in that the four gospels.
Nurutkeun sejarah sabaratus katingali dina opat Injil.
I'm not sure that Ezekiel had that in mind.
Abdi teu tiasa mastikeun yen Ezekiel ngemutkeun saproseta.
But it is a helpful way in understanding the perspective of each of the four gospels.
Ieu nulungan urang kanggo ngartos perspektif masing-masing opat Injil.
The Gospel of Matthew, written by the Roman tax collector who was a Jew.
Injil Matius katukang nagih pajak Romawi nya eta urang Yahudi.
Seems to be the characteristics of a lion.
Katingalina ngagaduhan sifat siga maung.
King of beasts.
Raja leuweung.
The focus is on Jesus as the King of the Jews.
Fokusna ka Yesus, raja urang Yahudi.
Mark, on the other hand, seems to have a different perspective.
Markus dina sisi sanes katingalina ngagaduhan perspektif membenten.
It's more like that of an ox.
Ieu leuwih mirip kumana munding.
And it sounds funny to talk about Jesus being ox-like.
Lucu kanggo nyarioskeun ngeunaan Yesus anu mirip sareng munding.
But many of you understand that.
Heur di antawis saderek anu ngartos hal eta.
Because an ox is a beast of burden.
Munding eta sato anu sok ngangkut momotan.
It's a servant.
Ieu teh hartosna saurang hamba.
It's there to help the master.
Manehna aya di dinya kanggo ngabantuan nurunganna.
You know about oxes.
Saderek ngartos ngeunaan munding.
You may plow behind them.
Panginten molah sawah tukang ngeunaanna.
You may have a cart that is pulled by an ox.
Panginten ngagaduhan roda anu ditarik ku hiji munding.
This is the gospel that points out that Jesus came to be a servant.
Injil anu nunjukeun yen Yesus sumping kanggo janten sareng hamba.
It's the verse we just mentioned a moment ago in Mark 10:45.
Ayat nu enggal disebatkeun di dinya di Matius 10 ayat 45.
This is the book that was written by a Jewish disciple named Mark.
Kitab nu ditulis ku murid Yahudi anu namina Markus.
The third gospel, written by a Gentile doctor, Dr. Luke, seems to have, some have thought, a more human side to the story of Jesus.
Injil katilu ditulis ku seorang dokter sanes orang Yahudi, Dr. Lukas, katingalina ngagaduhan nurutkeun pendapat sa beberapa orang langkung nyorot ka sisip ka manusia.
Here we will see Jesus as the very compassionate, concerned, loving Savior, particularly of the down and outer.
Jadi orang baris ningali Yesus janten jalmi anu ngagaduhan kanyaa sareng ageung juru salamet anu mikaasih utamina jalmi-jalmi handap anu disingkirkeun.
Jesus' humanness will come through powerfully.
Kemuliaan Yesus bakal sumping ngalangkungan kawasa.
And then there's John, the fourth gospel.
Sareng teras aya Yohanes Injil anu kaopat.
Eagle-like.
Sapertos Raja Wali.
Soaring to great heights.
Ngalayang luhur.
Here's the one that came down from heaven.
Nyaeta saurang lungsur ti sorga.
This speaks of his divinity.
Ti dicarioskeun ka ilahianna.
That although human,
upami manusia,
he is also the Son of God.
Anjeunna teh putra Allah.
He that has seen Jesus has seen the Father.
Anjeunna nu parantos ningali Yesus sapertos ningali Bapa.
This is the gospel that soars like an eagle.
Injil anu ngapung luhur sapertos Raja Wali.
Fourfold portrait.
Gambaran segi opat.
We want to get the full picture of Jesus.
Urang hoyong nginginkeun gambaran seluruh ngeunaan Yesus.
Now, in this session we want to talk about the first three.
Dina sesi ieu urang bakal ngabahas ngeunaan tilu hal nu kahiji.
Let's use the chart that we introduced in the last session.
Urang ngago grafik anu parantos dituduhkeun dina sesi nu sanes.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what are called synoptic gospels.
Matius, Markus, sareng Lukas disebutna Injil sinopsis.
They have the same outline for the life of Jesus.
Maranehna ngagaduhan ringkas anu sami ngeunaan hirup Yesus.
They will spend a portion introducing Jesus.
Bakal ngagunakeun hiji bagian kanggo ngenalkeun Yesus.
Two of them will talk about his birth.
Dua timaranena bakal ngabahas kahirupanana.
All three talk about his water baptism.
Sareng tilu urang bakal ngabahas ngeunaan baptisan selam.
And then the spirit coming upon him.
Roh turun kaluhurna.
As he enters his public ministry.
Mantenna ngawitan pelayanan di payuneun umum.
And then most of the book will be devoted, at least in the center part, to what Jesus did, went around healing all who were oppressed to the devil, for God was with him.
Biar kita disimpen bakal nanal ku Yesus pidamel, mius nguriling kota ngadamengkeun ku iblis, kumargi Allah nyerengan.
His teaching and his miracles.
Ajaranna, sareng mujizat-mujizatna.
Then about a third of the book will be devoted to his death.
Kitab katilu disimpen dina pupusna.
Let's start first of all with the book of Matthew.
Mangga urang ningali kitab Matius.
Now Matthew probably was not the first gospel written.
Matius panginten sanes Injil anu ngawitan diserat.
But it has been placed first in the books of the New Testament.
Tapi ditempatkan ngawitan dina kitab-kitab perjanjian anyar.
Because it connects so well with the Old Covenant.
Kumargi sakitu raketna pisan hubungan sareng perjanjian lawas.
Because this is the gospel that focuses on how Jesus is the fulfillment of the hope of Israel.
Ieu Injil anu ngagaduhan fokus kumaha Yesus minuhan harepan Israel.
See, God had promised that there was going to be a descendant after the line of David whose kingdom would never end.
Allah parantos ngajanjikeun yen bakal sumping saurang keturunan Raja Daud anu karajaanana anu pernah rengse.
And as I mentioned, there was no king in Israel for 400 years.
Sapertos abdi, sebutkeun di dinya teu aya raja di Israel nu marentah salami 400 taun.
There was no word from God.
Eta aya dawuhan teu Allah.
Where's God?
Di mana Allah?
How many people have wondered that?
Sabaraseur jalmi nu ngagaduhan patarosan.
God doesn't seem to talk.
Allah katingalina teu nyarios.
He's not acting.
Mantenna teu nindak.
The silent God.
Allah nu cicing wae.
But in Jesus.
Tapi di lebet Yesus.
God has not only spoken.
Allah teu mung nyarios.
God has revealed himself.
Allah parantos ningali dirina nyarira.
As the king.
Janten Raja.
After the line of David.
Saparantos keturunan Daud.
And so, how does the book of Matthew begin?
Kumaha kitab Matius ngawitan?
Have you ever told someone, now you need to read the New Testament?
Nah, pernah saderek masian terang ka jalmi, ayeuna saderek peryogi ngaos panjalaran.
And so, they get a Bible.
Sareng janten maranena keng hiji kitab suci.
Turn to the New Testament.
Maranena ngaba malik ka panjalaran anyar.
And they read a genealogy.
Maranena ngaos hiji silsilah.
42 generations.
42 turunan.
Why, they're discouraged before they get started.
Nah, maranehna cieun satiacana ngawitan.
But there must be a reason why this is in here.
Tapi kedaya hiji alasan nah ieu bade diserat deui.
What do you want to know about someone who's a king?
Nah, saderek hoyong terang ngeunaan saurang anu janten raja.
Is he of a royal line?
Nah, anjeuna asalna ti turunan raja.
Does he have royal blood in his veins?
Nah, anjeuna ngagaduhan getih biru.
Look, in chapter 1, it talks about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham.
Tingali, dina pasal hiji nyarioskeun ngeunaan turunan Yesus Kristus, putra Daud, anak Abraham.
He's Jewish, and he's of a kingly line.
Anjeuna teh saurang Yahudi, sareng anjeuna teh dilebet garis turunan raja.
He qualifies to be of the line of David, and he is of the nation of Israel.
Anjeuna minuhan syarat kalebet garis turunan Daud, sareng anjeuna dilebet bangsa Israel.
Oh, but there were other people that could qualify that on that basis too.
Tapi aya jalmi sanes nu minuhan syarat numutkeun ieu.
I mean, David had more than one son.
Maksudna Daud ngagaduhan langkung ti saurang putra.
I mean, there were a lot of descendants of King David.
Maksudna ieu seueur keturunan Raja Daud.
Why Jesus?
Nah, Yesus.
Of Nazareth.
Di Nazaret.
Well, the book begins to explain.
Kitab ieu ngawitan ngajelaskeun.
And in just the first two chapters.
Sareng dilebet dua pasal nu ngawitan.
There are seven passages where it talks about Jesus is the fulfillment of specific prophecies in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament.
Aya tujuh pasal nu ngabahas ngeunaan kumaha Yesus nyaeta ngagenapkeun nubuat-nubuat khusus dina Perjanjian Lawas.
His name will be called Emmanuel.
Jenenganana disebut Immanuel.
Which means God is with us.
Ngartosna Allah nyerengan urang.
Prophesied by Isaiah 700 years earlier.
Dinubuatkeun ku Yesaya 700 tahun sateuacana.
Why the place where he was born, Bethlehem.
Ku tepat di mana anjeunna dibabarkeun di Bethlehem.
A little town in a little country.
Hiji kota alit di hiji nagri nu alit.
Predicted 550 years earlier by the prophet Micah.
Diprediksikan 500 tahun sareng 50 tahun langkung engal ti Nabi Mika.
Now when you put all these fulfilled prophecies together, that cannot be by accident.
Ayeuna waktu saderek ngahijikeun sadayana nubuatan anu digenapi sasarengan ieu sanes kaleresan.
Something's going on here.
Nunuju ka jantenan di dieu.
Could Jesus be the promised deliverer?
Nah, tiasa Yesus janten saurang pembebas nu dijanjikeun.
Are we going to finally have a king?
Nah, urang akhirna bakal ngagaduhan saurang raja.
Can you imagine the excitement when John the Baptist suddenly appeared?
Biasa saderek ngabayangkeun kagumiran waktu Yohanes Pembaptis ujug-ujug aya.
Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Geura tobat, kerajaan surga parantos saket.
They hadn't had a word from God for 400 years.
Maranehna teu ngingkeun dawuhan Allah dina 400 tahun.
Could this be the time?
Hatenapi ieu teh waktosna.
Has the king come?
Nah, raja teh parantos sumping.
This is the emphasis of the book of Matthew.
Nya ieu tinekanan kitab Matius.
This is a teaching gospel.
Ieu teh hiji Injil nu ngawulang.
3 out of every 5 verses are the words of Jesus.
Tilu ti satiap 5 ayat nu mangrupikeun cariosan Yesus.
Because what do you want from a king?
Margi naon nu dipikahoyong ti saurang raja?
You listen to his words.
Dengukeun cariosan-cariosan
ieu. He has important things to say.
Anjeunna ngagaduhan hal penting kanggo didugikeun.
So this gospel is literally set up to be a teaching gospel.
Nya kitu Injil secara harfiah ditulis kanggo janten Injil nu ngawulang.
Turn to the last 2 verses of the gospel.
Tingali 2 ayat terakhir dina Injil ieu.
Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20.
Matius 28 ayat 18 dugi ke 20.
Matthew 28:19.
Matius 28 ayat 18.
Jesus is speaking to his disciples after his resurrection.
Nyarioskeun ka murid-muridna saparantos gugahna.
All authority now has been given to him in heaven and in earth.
Sadaya otoritas parantos dipasihkeun ka anjeunna di surga sareng di bumi.
Now he says, therefore I want you to go.
Nyariosna ku sabab eta marane kudu miang.
Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Kabeh bangsa kudu dijadikan murid kami sarta kudu dibaptis kalawan panjenengan Rama Putra Sang Roh Suci.
Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age.
Kudu wurukan sinangalampakeun segala rupa anu kus kami diparentahkeun ka marane, masing yakin yen kami teh terus rerujungan jeung marane sapanjangna.
Make disciples.
Jadi murid-murid.
Baptize them.
Baptis maranehna.
Teach them.
Wurukan maranehna.
This gospel helps us to do that.
Injilian nulungan urang kanggo ngalaksanakeunana.
Matthew's a tax collector.
Matius teh nya eta saurang anu narik pajak.
Tax collectors are supposed to keep careful accounts.
Narik pajak geus pasti miboga catetan kalawan taliti.
They're to keep their numbers straight.
Maranehna nyatet angka-angka kalawan pas.
And this gospel has a real organization to it.
Injil ieu ngagaduhan peraturan nu sae.
It has five major sections in it.
Aya lima bagian ageung di lebetna.
And right in the middle of each section is an interesting phrase.
Pas di tengah setiap bagian aya ungkapan nu sae.
When Jesus had said all these things, he did this.
Yesus midamel sadayana ieu mantenna midamelna.
There are actually five teaching sections at the beginning of each of these five sections.
Aya lima sesi pangajaran di ngawitan tina kalima bagian ieu.
The first one is the best known, is the most well known.
Nu kahijinya eta nu paling terkenal.
It's the Sermon on the Mount.
Eta khotbah di bukit.
A summary of what Jesus taught concerning those who are going to be followers of him.
Ringkasan tina nu ku Yesus diajarkeun ngeunaan saha anu baris jadi pangiringna.
Because the purpose of this gospel is to make disciples.
Tujuan Injil teh nyaeta kanggo ngajadikeun murid-murid.
What's a disciple?
Ari nu disebut saurang murid teh?
It comes from a word that means someone who listens in order to obey.
Kawitna ti hiji kata anu hartosna saurang anu ngadangukeun kanggo taat.
Jesus said, I want you to go and do as I've done to you.
Yesus nyarios, kami hayang supaya marane init jeung ngalakukeun naon anu geus ku kami dipigawe.
I've made you disciples.
Abdi parantos ngajadikeun saderek murid-murid.
You have become people who not only hear my word, you do it.
Saderek janten jalmi-jalmi anu teu meunang ngadangu cariosan abdi, saderek ngalaksanakeunana.
You're like the wise man who builds his house upon the rock.
Jalmi bijaksana ngawangun imahna di luhureun batu karang.
He doesn't just hear what I say, he does it.
Anjeunna teu mung ngadangukeun, ngalaksanakeun.
And so he stands.
Anjeunna ngadeg.
When the storms come,
waktu angin ribut datang,
he does not get swept away.
Anjeunna teu kacanak angin.
You go and do now what I've done to you.
Ngalaksanakeun ayeuna naon anu parantos ku kami dipedamelkeun marane.
You become my disciples who hear and do my word.
Marane jadi murid-murid kami anu ngadangu jeung ngalaksanakeun parentah kami.
Now you go and teach others to do the same.
Geura miang jeung ajarkeun marane jang ngalakukeun usami.
Hear and do my word.
Ngadangu sareng ngalaksanakeun dawuhanana.
Now about the time that this book was written, probably in about 30 to 40 years after Christ had gone back to heaven.
Ngeunaan waktos kitab ieu dituliskeun meureun sakitar 30 taun atau 40 taun parantos Kristus uyi dari sorga.
Some of the apostles were suffering martyrdom. They were being killed for their testimony to Christ.
Sababaraha rasul maot salaku martir maranehna dipaehan salaku kesaksian maranehna ka Kristus.
Furthermore, the gospel was multiplying in many areas in the Roman Empire.
Leuwih jauh deui Injil parantos berkembang di seueur wilayah kerajaan Romawi.
How can we disciple all these new believers?
Kumaha asa saurang murid sadayana urang percaya anu anyar ieu?
How can we be sure they know what Jesus taught so they know what they're supposed to do?
Urang pastiin maranehna terang naon anu ku Yesus diajarkeun dugi ka maranehna katinggalina terang anu naon nu kada dilakukeun.
We don't have enough apostles to go around.
Urang teu gaduh rasul kanggo mios ka sakulia dunya.
That's probably one of the major reasons this book was written.
Ieu panginten hiji alasan utami dina kitab ieu ditulis.
So God inspired Matthew, who had been one of the 12.
And then Allah ngilhamkeun Matius salah sahiji ti 12 rasul.
Who knew firsthand what Jesus had taught.
Nu terang ti panangan ngawitan naon anu ku Yesus diajarkeun.
For 20-30 years had been learning to do it.
Kang nu salami 20 atanapi 30 taun parantos diajarkeun ngalaksanakeunana.
He writes it down.
Nu ditubiskeun kumantena.
Fulfilling what Jesus said.
Genapkeun naon anu ku Yesus dicarekeun.
Make disciples of all the nations.
Jadikeun sakabeh bangsa murid kami.
I'd like to point out just a couple things that are found in this teaching manual.
Abdi bade nudukeun sabaraha hal anu dikengingkeun pedoman pangajaran ieu.
May I call it a discipling manual?
Sabeos abdi nyebat dina hiji pedoman ngamuridkeun.
Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount.
Mangga urang tingali khotbah di butki.
Matthew chapter 5.
Matius pasal 5.
Verses 19 and 20.
Ayat 18 sareng 20.
The first of 5 teaching sections in the book.
Nungawitan ti 5 pengajaran kitab ieu.
Remember why the Bible was written?
Nah, kitab suci diserat.
To save us through faith in Christ.
Kanggo nyalametkeun urang ngalangkungan iman dina Kristus.
And to equip us for every good work.
Sareng kanggo ngalengkepan urang kanggo setia padamaran.
Keep that in mind as we read this passage.
Ayeuna naha emut waktos urang ngawas pasal ieu?
Verse 19.
Ayat 18.
Anyone who breaks one of the least of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Jadi singsa anu nyoret bagian dina Toret, najan ngan saeutik pisan bari ngajarkeun, geus kitu ti dituna, engke di kerajaan sawarga bakal kaasup kana pangrendana. Sabalikna singsa anu tigin kana eusina hukum Toret, bari nerangkeun di kerajaan sawarga bakal mulia.
Did you catch it?
Nah, saderek ngartos.
Practices and teaches.
Melaksanakeun jeung ngajarkeun.
Not just teaches it and doesn't practice it.
Teumung ngajarkeunana sareng teu ngalaksanakeunana.
Like the religious leaders.
Sapertos ahli Toret.
Look at the next verse, verse 20.
Mangga tingali dina ayat anu salajengna ayat 20.
I tell you that unless your righteousness goes beyond that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Kitu nu mata kami ngabejaan mun harayang asup kana karajaan sawarga kudu boga patokan hirup anu leuwih punyul batan patokan hirupna ahli-ahli kitab Farisi.
What was the problem with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law?
Naon masalahna jeung urang Farisi jeung ahli-ahli Toret?
They taught but they didn't do.
Maranehna ngajarkeun tapi manehna teu ngalaksanakeun.
That's not a disciple.
Ieu teh sanes saurang murid.
You must be a disciple.
Kaderek kada janten saurang murid.
Whose righteousness goes beyond what the Pharisees do.
Hirup kaagamanana leuwih nu dilaksanakeun kurang Farisi.
You actually do what you teach.
Kaderek leres-leres ngalaksanakeun ku sadaya diajarkeun.
Now isn't that the best way to teach?
Pana ieu teh mangrupi anu dipangsaena kanggo adi ngajar.
If you say something and people know you're not doing it, it undercuts the authority and authenticity of what you're saying.
Kaderek nyarios hal ka jalma-jalma teu ngalaksanakeunana ieu ngurangan sapagodo sareng cariosan.
So teach with authority.
Janten ngawuruk oge otoritas.
The authority of a life that lives that which is taught.
Otoritas ti hiji kahirupan anu baris ngahirupkeun anu diajarkeun.
Be like Jesus.
Mangga janten sapertos Yesus.
Be a disciple of Jesus.
Mangga janten saurang murid Yesus.
Go beyond religious teaching.
Mangga hirup leuwih leres tibatan hirup kaagamaan jalmi Farisi.
Understand that what God's concerned about is on the inside.
Kedah ngartos kana naon Allah peratoskeun nyaeta nu aya di lebet.
Not the outside.
Sanes mung luarna wungkul.
So there are 6 illustrations of the difference between the way the Pharisees taught and the religious leaders and the way that Jesus taught.
Sareng aya 6 gambaran anu benten di antara jalan anu diajarkeun ka urang-urang Farisi sareng ahli-ahli Toret sareng jalan ku Yesus diajarkeun.
Jesus taught a deeper righteousness of the heart.
Yesus ngajarkeun hiji bebeneran anu langkung jero ngeunana teh.
You've heard that it's been said, Do not commit adultery.
Ane parantos ngadangu dawuhan tong zina.
I say, don't look on a woman to lust after her.
Tapi kebingin ngomong tong malong hiji istri sarang mikahoyong kanjena.
You see, the command has to do with the heart.
Parentah ieu kedah dilaksanakeun sareng hate.
So teaching people to obey what Christ commands has to do with their hearts.
Nu ulang jalmi-jalmi kanggo taat kana parentah Kristus nu kedah dilaksanakeun ku hate marane.
Were they not just do not kill?
Kanes mung sakadar tong maehan.
But they don't hate.
Tapi parentah nu hartosna tong mikangewa.
That's the kind of righteousness that we are to teach and live.
Nya ieu jenis bebeneran anu diajarkeun sareng dilaksanakeun.
As I teach these sessions,
sesami ngawulang sesi-sesi ieu,
I'm very aware that the Holy Spirit speaks to me.
Abdi sadar pisan yen Roh Kudus nyarios ka abdi.
John, are you teaching beyond your experience?
John, nah anjeun ngawulang sanes nurutkeun pengalaman.
Are you a true disciple? Are you living what you're teaching?
Nah anjeun saurang murid sejati nah anjeun ngalaksanakeun.
See, that's the power of the Word of God.
Tingali eta ku kawasa dawuhan Allah.
It deals with the heart of the matter, which is our heart.
Aya kaitanana sareng hate nyaeta hate urang.
Maybe I should say, am I living what I teach?
Kedana abdi nyariosna abdi ngalaksanakeun naon anu ku abdi diajarkeun.
Talk to my wife.
Mangga kalos istri abdi.
Talk to my children.
Urang kali abdi.
They know me best.
Nu paling terang ka abdi.
Am I living it in my home?
Ngalakukeunana di bumi abdi.
This is what we're talking.
Nya ieu anu nuju di baskuran.
The discipling manual of Matthew.
Padoman ngamuridkeun tina Matius.
It is a very effective book to help us fulfill the commission that Christ gave to make disciples.
Kitab nu efektif pisan kanggo nulungan urang minuhan amanat nu Kristus pasikeun kanggo ngajarikeun murid.
There's excellent teaching in the book of Matthew concerning the king's kingdom.
Ya pengajaran usai pisan dina kitab Matius ngeunaan kerajaan Allah.
Again, let me use a chart.
Kumargi kitu abdi bade ngangge grafik kanggo.
To illustrate
the
teaching concerning the kingdom of God.
Pengajaran ngeunaan ajaran Allah.
Kings have a kingdom.
Raja-raja ngagaduhan hiji kerajaan.
And Jesus had to teach the disciples what kind of a kingdom he came to bring.
Yesus kedang ngawulang murid-muridnya jenis kerajaan naon anu dicandakna.
Now if you're going to be a king like David, we know what kind of a kingdom that is.
Pamisa derek bade janten saurang raja sapertos Daud urang terang jenis kerajaan anu bade.
Kings sit on thrones.
Raja-raja talik di luhur tahta-tahta.
In Jerusalem.
Di Yerusalem.
And they rule over the people.
Terang maranehna mingpin rakyat.
And they subjugate and they rule over all their enemies.
Maranehna nalukeun sareng maranehna marentah sadaya musuh maranehna.
Wrong.
Lepat.
My kingdom is not of this world.
Kerajaan kami asalna lain ti dunya ieu.
Otherwise my disciples would fight.
Sanes murid-murid kami anu beri nggerlut.
And when they tried to fight, what did Jesus do?
Marane nyerobaan ngaku garelut, naon anu ku Yesus kedama.
Peter put that sword up.
Petrus sandak pedang eta.
That's not how we win battles.
Ieu teh sanes kumaha urang ngingkeun peperangan.
Well, Jesus, if you're the king, then why don't you throw out the Romans?
Yesus upama anjeun raja, na teu ngusir urang Romawi.
We only want one king.
Urang mung mikahoyong hiji raja.
No, you misunderstand my kingdom.
Anjeun lepat.
You see,
ngartos ngeunaan kerajaan
kami. Before this great kingdom comes to earth, the rule of God.
Teteacana kerajaan ageung ieu sumping ka bumi nu marentah nyaeta Allah.
And he didn't deny that that was going to happen.
Mantenna teu nampik naon anu baris kajantenan.
The king has come ahead of time in a very surprising way.
Raja parantos sumping meulaan jaman dina cara anu sakitu heranna.
He came as a servant.
Mantenna sumping salaku saurang hamba.
A king that serves.
Saurang raja nu ngalayanan.
Kings have servants. They're not servants.
Raja kagungan hamba-hamba marane sanes hamba.
What kind of a kingdom is this?
Kerajaan saperos naon ari ieu?
Oh, I came to die.
Kami datang teh rek maot.
Die?
Maot.
Kings don't die, they live.
Raja henteu pupus, maranehna hirup.
They kill other people, but they don't die.
Maranehna mayan jalmi sanes, tapi maranehna kumaha.
We'll protect you.
Kami baris ngalindungan manehna.
Remember Peter?
Emut Petrus.
All the disciples?
Sareng murid-murid anu sanesna.
And what did Jesus say when they volunteered to be his personal bodyguards?
Yesus nyarioskeun waktos maranehna kersa janten pangawal pribadina.
Get thee behind me, Satan.
Nyingkir, iblis.
They're willing to lay down their life for Jesus and say, and he says to them, you're a tool of Satan.
Maranehna kersa maot kanggo Yesus, sareng Yesus nyarios kamaranehna-maranehna dipake setan.
You don't understand.
Maraneh teu ngarti.
My kingdom's different.
Kerajaan kami mah beda.
This is the reason Jesus used parables to explain this.
Ieu alasan Yesus nganggo perumpamaan kanggo ngajelaskeun hal ieu.
The kingdom that I've come to bring is like a sower, sowing seed.
Kerajaan kami teh saperti siki sasawi anu diawurkeun di ladang.
Just like the soil can receive or reject the seed, so people can receive or reject the kingdom.
Tami sapertos tanah anu kenging nampi atawa nolak siki, sapertos kitu jalmi oge nampi atawa nolak kerajaan Allah.
Like a mustard seed.
Sapertos hiji siki sasawi.
Very small.
Alit pisan.
You could miss it.
Kadarek tiasa kalingitan.
Remember what I said at the beginning.
Nemut naon anu ku kami dicaraskeun waktu kawitan.
Significance has nothing to do with size.
Anu teu aya kaitanana sareng takaran.
It's what it is that counts.
Pinumutkeun anu penting.
It's the kingdom of God.
Ieu teh kerajaan Allah.
And so Jesus had to do a whole re-education project on his hands. He had to retrain them.
Yesus kedah midamel sadaya tugas ngadidik deui mantenna kedah ngalatih maranehanna.
So he made disciples.
Mantenna ngadareskeun murid-murid.
Received his teaching.
Maranehna nampi pangajaranana.
And obeyed it.
Sareng taat kana parentahna.
Even when they didn't fully understand it.
Waktos maranehna teu sapinuhna ngartos kana hal eta.
Is this not what we want from our children?
Sanes ieu anu kurang dipikayong ti barudak urang.
Please trust us and do what we say.
Mangga percantan ka kami sareng ngalaksanakeun.
What a great gospel.
Injil nu sakitu hebatna.
Let's take a look at the second one.
Mangga urang tingali dina Injil kedua.
The Gospel of Mark.
Injil Markus.
This gospel is much shorter than the Gospel of Matthew.
Injil ieu langkung ponok tibatan Injil Matius.
The Gospel of the Suffering Servant.
Nana hamba anu dikasiksa.
No genealogy.
Kana riwayat.
Who cares about the birth line of a servant?
Anu emut ka riwayat katurunan ti sareng hamba?
No, the emphasis is on conflict.
Ti sapertos katilunan neuskeun dina konflik.
On service.
Dina pelayanan.
There's not a lot of teaching in the book of Mark.
Ti seueur piwulang dina kitab Markus.
The emphasis is on what Jesus did.
Nandeskeunana nyaeta dina naon anu ku Yesus pidamel.
There are 19 miracles in Mark.
Aya 18 mujizat dina Markus.
That's more than half of all the total miracles that we have recorded in all four gospels. Half of them are in Mark.
Langkung ti satengah ti sadayana mujizat anu dicatet dina opat Injil satengahna aya dina kitab Markus.
So we have a focus on what Jesus did.
Janten urang ngagaduhan fokus ngeunaan naon anu ku Yesus
sedang. This is the gospel where the focus is on Jesus doing one thing after another, immediately, 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 immediately.
Injil di mana fokusna dina naon ku Yesus dipidamel secara entep seureuna ayeuna.
Because servants are known for what they do.
Kumargi para hamba dikenal naon anu maranehna dipidamel.
Chapter 5, verse 19.
Pasal 5, ayat 18.
Jesus had healed a man filled with demons.
Yesus ngadamangkeun saurang pamegat anu kalebetan setan.
And it says that this man wanted to follow Jesus.
Dicariuskeun yen pamegat ieu hoyong ngiring ka Yesus.
But it says Jesus did not let him follow him.
Yesus teu kenging jalmi ieu nyerengan.
Listen to Jesus' words.
Mangadangukeun carisan Yesus.
Go home to your family and tell how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you.
Mending balik deui ka lembur pek di ditu caritakeun pitulung pangeran nu sakitu anehna ka maneh, caritakeun kumaha Rahman Rahimna ka maneh.
And it says in the next verse, The man began to tell his friends in the Decapolis, which is the 10 Greek cities.
Manena nurut tuluy inet ngider ka satana Decapolis.
Why did I bring up this story?
Abdi nyarioskeun carosan ieu.
This is unusual.
Ieu teu biasa.
When people saw Jesus do something, they wanted to talk.
Waktu jalmi-jalmi ningali Yesus medamel hiji hal, marane hayang gunem satu.
And in Mark particularly, we find Jesus saying, "Don't talk."
Dina Markus anu utamina urang ngingkeun Yesus nyareuskeun sanes gunem catur.
There's one exception where he said, "Go tell everybody what happened."
Di pengecualian anjeun nyareos geura init jeung caritakeun ka unggal jalma anu kajadian.
This man was not a Jew.
Pamegat ieu sanes urang Yahudi.
He was in Gentile territory.
Anjeun aya di lebet wilayah jalmi kafir.
They were not looking for a king to overthrow the Romans.
Manehna teu ngantosan saurang raja anu baris ngelekeun ka raja Romawi.
So go ahead and tell him what happened.
Geura init jeung caritakeun.
What this servant did.
Naon ku hamba geus dipidamel.
But when he was in Jewish territory.
Muwatos aya di wilayah Yahudi.
Don't you talk.
Tong masian terang.
Why?
Nah.
Because the Jewish leaders would then begin to come against Jesus in persecution.
Kumargi pamimpin-pamimpin Yahudi bakal sumping kanggo nyiksa Yesus.
And they would cause Jesus not to be freely able to teach as he wanted to.
Maranehna nu baris nyaram Yesus ngajar bebas sapertos nu dipikahoyong.
You see, this is the gospel where he keeps his messianic ministry a secret.
Tingali ieu Injil di mana anjeunna nyimpen amanat Mesias salaku hiji rahasia.
You see, wherever Jesus went, people reacted to him.
Kamana Yesus mios, jalmi-jalmi ngariling anjeunna.
They loved him or they hated him.
Maranehna mikasih ka anjeunna atawa bisabalikna.
When Jesus does what he does.
Waktu Yesus bedamal.
You can't be neutral.
Anjeunna teu tiasa teu mihak.
People reacted.
Jalmi-jalmi kagerakeun.
He's a divider of men.
Anjeunna pamela jalmi-jalmi.
This is the gospel of action and reaction.
Injil ngeunaan kalakuan sareng gerakan.
As the servant goes about carrying out the master's will.
Salaku hamba anjeunna teras ngajalankeun ka hayang durunganna.
Now the gospel of Luke.
Injil Lukas.
Is a gospel that shows Jesus as a compassionate savior.
Injil nunudukeun Yesus teh saurang juru salamet anu ngagaduhan ka nyaah.
I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people.
Abdi nyandak saderek beja bungah anu ageung kanggo sakuliah bangsa.
This good news of a savior in Bethlehem is not just for Jews, it's for all people.
Beja bungah ngeunaan saurang juru salamet di Bethlehem sanes mung kanggo saurang Yahudi tapi kanggo sadayana jalmi.
And this Gentile doctor was very interested in that.
Saurang dokter anu sanes Yahudi ieu resepeun pisan.
So he focuses on the people that are kind of looked down upon.
Enten fokusna ka jalma-jalma nu tinggal ditingali rendah.
Women, children, tax collectors, Gentiles.
Para istri, barudak, para penarik pajak, sareng jalmi-jalmi sanes urang Yahudi.
As it says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit has anointed me to preach good news to the poor.
Dina Lukas 4 ayat 18, Roh Allah parantos ngurapan kami anu nepikeun beja pikabungahan ka jalma-jalma miskin.
And so we see Jesus as a very human person moved with compassion to both work miracles and to teach about the kingdom of God.
Urang ningali Yesus teh manusa anu digerakkeun ku kaasih kanggo ngalakukeun mujizat sareng ngawulang ngeunaan kerajaan Allah.
In the first several verses of the book in chapter 1 verses 3 and 4.
Sababaraha ayat anu ngawitan dina pasal 1 ayat 3 sareng 4.
It indicates that this book is an orderly account.
Nuduhkeun yen kitab ieu nyaritakeun hiji tatetan nu teratur.
Listen to verse 3.
Jangukeun ayat 3-na.
Luke 1:3.
Lukas 1 ayat 3.
Therefore, since I myself, writes Luke, have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus.
Kitu numawi saparantos kusim kuring, taliti ditalungtik ti awit-awitna ayeuna sumedya dibukukeun kalayan teratur awasin anjeun.
That you may know for certain the things of which you've been taught.
Beres kauninga yen ajaran anu katampi ku anjeun teh memang leres.
This is a very orderly account by a Greek doctor who also was a historian.
Ieu teh dicatetan anu teratur pisan ku saurang dokter Yunani anu oge mangrupa saurang ahli sajarah.
So that Theophilus, who probably was a Roman leader, would know why Jesus did what he did.
Theophilus, inu panginten saurang pejabat Romawi, bakal terang na Yesus medama anu dipidamel ku anjeunna.
He came to seek and to save the lost, that included Romans, Gentiles, and a lot of people that were looked down upon.
Anjeunna sumping ka ngomilari sareng nyalametkeun anu leungit, kalebet urang-urang Romawi sareng urang Yahudi sareng seueur jalmi anu ditinggal rendah.
You see, Jesus has a big heart.
Tarek ningal Yesus ngagaduhan hate nu bageul.
The whole world.
Anjeunna ngagaduhan sakola jero dunya di hatena. Saderek aya di lebet hatena. Abdi aya di lebet hatena.
Irrespective of our background.
Pasti latar kapengger urang.
Good news, a savior for all mankind.
Hijabungan nu aya di saurang juru salamet kanggo sadaya umat manusia.
The message of the book of Luke.
Ieu teh amanat ti kitab Lukas.
These are the first three portraits.
Ieu tilu gambaran nu ngawitan.
Matthew the king.
Raja dina Matius.
And Mark the servant.
Hamba dina Markus.
And Luke the compassionate savior of all mankind.
Juru salamet nu ngagaduhan kanyah kanggo sadaya umat manusia dina Lukas.
We'll look at John in our next section.
Bade ningali Injil Yohanes dina sisi salajengna.
Don't you love Jesus?
Pamisa derek mikasih ka Yesus.
God bless you.
Pangeran ngaberkahan saderek.